This is Julie Christie. I'm talking to Diane Young at New Lambton Heights. It's the 10th of August 2007.
Diane, can you tell us what happened on Friday night during the storm?
Yes, well, we'd only just arrived back from Gilgandra. We'd been up there for a funeral, so we drove back through a lot of floodwaters and rain coming out of the hills anyway, listening to the radio and hearing all the stories about what was happening in Newcastle and hoping we'd get home. So we did get home about 6:30 and we raced inside. Went to bed at a normal time, exhausted, and about 1 o'clock in the morning we started hearing this wind, and then we heard a crashing sound. Although I wouldn't have really described it as a crash, it was just a swooshy sort of sound. And we thought, oh, what was that? Got up and went outside and had a look, and the tree at the front of our yard had come crashing down. Missed the house, thank goodness, but got the car. So we really just said to ourselves, thank goodness it wasn't the house, and then came out the back because we have a reserve behind us and wondered what was going on out there. So we came out the back yard, had a look, and there were trees groaning and creaking and shrieking all over the place, and the movement was amazing. And we stood and watched it for a while, and then we thought, this is stupid, let's get inside. So we got inside and went back to bed and just listened all night to the storm, listened to the ABC radio. And
what happened the next day?
Next day we were up fairly early. I don't think we'd slept at all.
You've experienced cyclones before, haven't you?
Oh, I have, yes. We lived in Darwin for 18 years. We weren't there for Cyclone Tracy, but we were there for quite a number of other ones, and it was just like a cyclone. And if I'd lived in Darwin, we would have been calling it a cyclone for sure. But the damage at the back in the reserve was amazing. We looked next door and he has a few big trees in the backyard and they were gone. He had skylights gone and our clothesline was gone and various other things. And then I knew the neighbours were away because their son had rung me the night before to say, let me know if anything happens to Dad's house. So I had to ring him in the morning and say, yes, something has happened to Dad's house. And so they lost skylights and there was water in their kitchen and everything. Luckily, we didn't have that to contend with, just a car, but a car's a car.
Mm. And you were without power?
We certainly were. When the tree went down, it took down the line from the road into our house, so nothing. The whole street eventually was without power. I think that was probably another hour later that went off. We could tell because we'd been out at the car with the torch at 1:30 in the morning seeing what damage had been done. We actually were out without the power for about 5 days. The power came on into the street about 3 days later, but we talked to the Energy Australia people that were in the area and they said, hasn't anybody told you you need to have a whatever on the front of their house to connect the power to, because that would have been ripped out with the storm. So I had to get an electrician to come and put that in. So that delayed things a little, but yeah, on the fifth day, that power was reconnected.
What sort of inconvenience was that?
Ooh, I was glad I wasn't terribly old. My next door neighbours, who were in their 80s, they actually went to stay with their daughter through the day, and then one night it was just too cold. Their daughter was without power as well, but at least she was able to look after them. They booked themselves into the executive inn down at West Leagues Club because they couldn't stand the cold. And I think that was the worst, how cold it was. And no lights, of course, and was about the shortest day of the year, so it was dark soon after five. We did have a gas heater, but there was nothing much to do anyway, so we weren't sitting in front of a gas heater too long. We had a barbecue on the back veranda that we barbecued the meat as it defrosted from the freezer, and we had a side burner, so we were able to have cups of tea, and we even cooked porridge for breakfast one morning out there, which was quite exciting. We had a lot of candlelight dinners, but we had a lot of early nights. While we were without power, I didn't realise how cold the winter was until then, and I have a firm belief now that even the lights in the house must keep your house warmer, because it was just bitterly cold, and because there were no lights on at all through the evening at all, we just had so many clothes on trying to keep warm, so we went to bed early mainly to keep warm.
Diane, when did the clean-up start?
Well, we had to start the clean-up immediately on the Saturday morning to get our car out from under the tree. So we have a chainsaw, so cut back enough of the tree so that we could move the damaged car and get the other car out of the garage, so we had a vehicle. So that was done fairly early, and the family came round to help do that. And it was probably 2 days later that CivyLake came around with the team, and they chopped up the whole tree, back to about 3 metres from the stump, cut it all up into logs and stacked it on the footpath. Then some fellow and his son came along with a trailer to say, can we have your firewood? So they took away 2 trailer loads of logs for firewood, which was good because we didn't need it. And I'd been on to the insurance company about 8 o'clock on the Saturday morning, and they were excellent. I told them about the car and how much damage there was, told them about the power being ripped out, and we lost our letterbox and quite a few things in the garden, and they sort of were very helpful, said yes, just keep in touch and ring the storm team and that sort of thing, which we did. And probably Monday afterwards they were on to me again asking about the car and what sort of damage it was, and arranging for a tow truck to come and get it. I thought they would be arranging for an assessor to come, but the tow truck came, and the tow truck driver said to us on the Wednesday when he took it, I will say goodbye to your car because they'll think you'll be getting a cheque in the mail. And a week later, we had the cheque.
That's terrific.
It was really good. And with the household things, I was able to claim for food lost in the freezer and things like that because we had power loss for 5 days. And I bought a new letterbox, and they paid me for that. And in the clean-up, we've had their contractor was the tree expert to remove the rest of the tree, and that became a bit of a saga. And probably 4 weeks later, a team turned up and chopped up a lot of the timber and mulched it and took that away. But I still had this stump with its horizontal landscape sitting out in the front yard, and there was a little bit of a problem with it because it was right on the border with our next door neighbour, so we both had issues there with a retaining wall and a crooked letterbox and another power pole that had been bent. And eventually the insurance sent a contractor along who ground out the stump, and as he was doing so, of course, he cut the telephone wire and the water pipes, and I was so thankful that none of that had been damaged when the tree was uprooted. But I knew it would happen because that you could see the pipes through the roots in the tree. So that was only last Thursday. And last Friday I had Telstra and a plumber here reconnecting all the services again.
Oh, so you haven't had water for that time?
No, it was only... I didn't lose the water until last Thursday when they were grounding out the stump. So that was reconnected and everything's pretty good.
What about since that time? How have you felt?
Well, to be honest, I've felt a bit stressed, which is not normally me. We'd only just come back the Friday before the storm from a big overseas trip. So David had taken the week off work following, and we were just gently getting back into life. And in fact, on Wednesday night before the storm, we had a phone call that an elderly aunt of his has died out at Gilgandra. So we thought, well, we'd better go to the funeral. He was her favourite aunt. So we drove to Gilgandra and back. So that's what we were driving back in all the rain from. So that was not a trauma. She was 90, so we were expecting that, really. But it just put us out of kilter. And then when we got home, we thought, all right, we've got the next weekend now before he goes back to work on the Tuesday. And then the storm hit. So we just feel like we never really got on top of things. And it's probably only the last week that I feel kind of got back to normal. But it's just been stressful dealing with insurances and dealing with contractors and dealing with neighbours. And I haven't really been out chatting to the neighbours much. I just feel like I don't want to, and I stay inside. But our house, our tree in this street was really the only damage in this little cul-de-sac. So all the neighbours are interested, and they've all been hanging around and chatting and coming up to Sticky Beak and having a look at the car when it was damaged and all that sort of thing. And then I think I withdrew a bit.